The Birth Series, Part 2, The Virgin Birth. All this took place to fulfill what Yahweh had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means Yahweh with us. Matthew 1:22-23. With this text, Matthew is paraphrasing Isaiah 7:14. But the English version that is being quoted is a mistranslation of a mistranslation. Most are not aware that what they consider the Hebrew Scriptures, or Old Testament, in their Bible do not come from the original Hebrew, but from an early translation of the Hebrew Bible into Greek called the Septuagint. The original Hebrew text of Isaiah 7:14 is not about a virgin. The Hebrew word Betula is used 32 times in the Tanakh, or Old Testament, as a specific word for virgin. So the Hebrew word used to describe the woman in Isaiah 14, Alma, is a word that means young woman. But then the Septuagint took the Hebrew Alma and rendered it as the Greek Parthenios, which means virgin. This inadvertent shift from young woman to virgin is typical of the Septuagint, and it occurs elsewhere too. For instance, the Hebrew text of Genesis 24:16 describes Rebekah as a young woman who was a virgin, using hahara, another Hebrew word for young woman. But the Greek in the Septuagint changes that into a virgin who was a virgin. These errors are not surprising because the Septuagint translators tended not to focus as closely on individual words as some modern readers might like. In most contexts, calling a young woman a virgin in the days of the Septuagint would be only a minor translation mistake, hardly even noteworthy, because most young women were virgins, and most female virgins were young women. In modern terms, however, it would be like mixing up high schooler and teenager. Imprecise, perhaps, but good enough for most purposes. But in this situation, obviously, turning a young woman into a virgin rises to the level of a serious gaffe. And that's when the young woman is pregnant. This is how the Septuagint, through both lack of precision and an understanding of Hebrew culture, turned an ordinary birth into a virgin birth. Subsequent translations into English only exacerbated the error. Some Hebrew translations actually render virgin conception rather than virgin birth. That is, frankly, far more probable, as virgin conception is not an uncommon occurrence. Matthew 1:1-15 establishes the legitimacy of Yeshua's claim to be the rightful heir to the throne of David. The Hebrew perspective considers all male descendants to be sons. Sons, grandsons, great-grandsons, great-great-grandsons, etc. The term virgin simply establishes the fact that the Messiah would be the firstborn son or eldest son, and thus the lawful contender to the throne of David, because it is only possible for a firstborn child to be conceived from a virgin. In other words, Mary became pregnant with the Messiah and lost her virginity at the exact same time, her first time, thus confirming the Messiah's physical birth. Even if Joseph's and King David's seed was supernaturally placed into the virgin womb of Mary, Mary's virginity would still only prove that the Messiah was without a doubt the firstborn or eldest son of Mary. And if supernaturally conceived, would simply show this child was not a true physical seed of Abraham. Here's where we must first set the stage from which to view these words from the Hebraic perspective they were written in and the culture surrounding them. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And Mary said to the angel, How will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, The Spirit of Yahweh will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of Yahweh. Luke 1:31-35. The Greek word translated as the English overshadow is episkiazo, which means to envelop in a cloud, drawing from usage in the Tanakh, which has been renamed the Old Testament, to describe the holy influence exerted upon those who come under the cloud of the present presence. In fact, this Greek word is only used 5 times in the Messianic writings. 3 of those times describe what happened at what has come to be known as the Mount of Transfiguration. While all of those standing in that cloud were righteously influenced by that event, nobody got pregnant. Note also that the angel said this child will be called, not is already called, the Son of the Most High. This is because as yet the child has not behaviorally cultivated virtue in his life. Philippians 2:7-8 tells us that Yeshua was born in human form in the likeness of men. And Hebrews 4:15 tells us that being in the likeness of men was tempted in every way just as we are, yet without choosing to sin. That virtue was purposefully cultivated to show how the words of Yahweh can set anyone apart for his purpose, the very definition of what it means to be wholly influenced. Jacob became the father of Joseph, who was the husband of Mary, from whom Joseph and Mary was born Yeshua, who is called Messiah. So all the male generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David to the exile to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the carrying away to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations of males. Now the birth of Messiah Yeshua was like this. Because when his mother, Mary, had been espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found pregnant by the spiritual influence of the holiness of spirit that resided within her. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of Yahweh appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, to cohabitate with her. For that which is conceived in her is from the holiness of spirit, residing in her. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, began to cohabitate with her, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Yeshua. Matthew 1:16-25. The Greek word translated as the English born is geneo, which means procreated or begotten as a property of the father or sire, Joseph, as stated. The Greek word translated as the English espoused is menesteno, meaning promised wife. The Greek word translated as the English before they came together is synergomēia, and means live together on a daily basis or cohabitate. It should be clearly understood that pregnant by the holiness of spirit does not mean that the holiness of spirit made her pregnant. As seen in the article agreement, it means the holiness of spirit she had already cultivated within her influenced Mary to get pregnant by Joseph prior to their permanent cohabitation. Thus, she allowed herself to get pregnant by consummating her marriage to Joseph before the scheduled date of their permanent cohabitation because of the holy and righteous nature or spiritual influence of the situation. She was not only filled mentally and emotionally by Yahweh's Holy Spirit of love for the Eternal Himself, but also for her husband, Joseph, and also her yet-to-be-conceived son, Yeshua, the promised Messiah and rightful heir to the throne of David. Traditional Christianity would have us to believe that all premarital sex is a sin, but Yahweh's inspired word clearly reveals that a man and his virgin have not sinned. 1 Corinthians 7:9. The Greek word translated as the English knew her not is genosko, which actually means acquainted or understood it not, without the pronoun her. In John 8:27, John 10:6, and John 12:16, the Greek word gonosko is translated as understood. It seems that the translators had a bias toward an agenda of tradition, as there is a huge difference between the implication of he knew her not and he understood it not. Additionally, the words her or there was not specified until the biased English translations. As directed by the angel, Joseph named their son Yeshua, not Jesus. Did Mary and Joseph have full intercourse prior to their cohabitation? Absolutely, as it was not an uncommon practice in those days for engaged couples, because the only difference between a promised marriage and an actual marriage was permanent cohabitation. Joseph and Mary were not only married in their own opinion, but also in Yahweh's opinion. They loved each other with a Holy Spirit of love, and eventually they cohabitated as a married couple. The source of Joseph's confusion was by agreeing to become pregnant before they were publicly cohabitating. They were going against the accepted norms of their culture. That was what Joseph was contemplating in wanting to put her away privately so as not to bring unwanted attention to their situation, and thus the need for intervention by the angel to reinforce their decision. Therefore, they did not sin and their relationship remained righteous. Additionally, Joseph had to be the true physical father or sire of Yeshua the Messiah in order for the verses of Matthew 1:1-15 to have any true purpose in being mentioned at all. We already know from research that Christianity has misinterpreted the identity of the holiness of spirit, an attitude of cultivating righteousness. So it only makes sense that they misinterpreted this too, since the holiness of spirit is involved in Mary's decision to get pregnant. The universal Roman Church and subsequently Protestant Catholics actually want mankind to believe in the pagan concept of the Trinity to further a preconceived agenda. The title of Holy Virgin was the title of the harlot princesses of Ishtar and Asherah. It is this title, not a pure form virgin reality, that was borrowed by the Greco-Roman Church. The function of these so-called holy virgins was to dispense the mothers, Ashtar's or Asherah's, grace through sexual worship, to heal, to prophesy, to perform sacred dances, to wail for the dead, and to become brides of God. The Hebrews called the children of these unmarried harlot priestesses Bether, which meant literally virgin born. The rest of the Hellenic pagan word had no language equivalent to the bizarre rituals of Ishtar, and mistranslated and misunderstood the literal Hebrew's terminology of Bather as Bartheneo, also virgin born, but in the sense of the physical, not spiritual virginity. Only pagans believe that humans and gods or demigods have children from sex or a magical implantation of the seed of Abraham. This pagan concept is pure rubbish based on superstition and ignorance. Why would Yahweh pervert his own promise to Abraham with a scam or misrepresentation when he didn't need to? Joseph was right there, and Mary already his by promise. Would righteous Yahweh perform such an unrighteous act against both Mary and Joseph? Absolutely not. Many people take the above verses to buttress their viewpoint that Mary was somehow impregnated by Yahweh to produce the child Yeshua. Let's consider this for a moment. If Mary was married when Yahweh impregnated her, he would have committed adultery, which is a violation of the Eighth Commandment. Similarly, if she was only engaged or betrothed when Yahweh impregnated her, then he would also have committed adultery. Needless to say, Yahweh will never commit adultery or break any other of his own commandments. Yahweh never does anything to his disciples, prophets, teachers, servants, etc., without first asking them if they would do it. How much more so in the case of impregnating someone? Yahweh simply does not force himself upon people. The Messianic writings or New Testament clearly state that Yeshua was born under the law, which is an unshakable indication that Yeshua was not conceived through either fornication or adultery, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the son of Yahweh in power according to the holiness of spirit by his resurrection from the dead, Yeshua HaMashiach. Romans 1:2-4.